Welcome to Plastics Unwrapped. In this podcast series, you'll hear the experts investigating the innovations as well as the challenges the plastics industry faces. It is hosted by Judy Hicks and brought to you by Dow.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to tackle some of the issues around recycling plastics. Why is it so difficult? What are the issues? Why do recycling rates change so drastically from country to country, council to council, and even street to street? What should plastics manufacturers like Dow do to create products that are easier to recycle, as well as support recycling? Well, today I'm talking to you from Dow's European headquarters in beautiful Switzerland, at the hub of where many of the crucial decisions and innovations are made. Joining me for today's discussion are two guests from Dow's packaging business, Romain Casnave and Karen Katzer. Thank you both for joining me, and welcome.
Thank you very much.
So I'd like to start with you, Romain, today. We're talking about recycling plastics. Can you explain to us, why is recycling plastics so difficult generally?
I would start with some good examples where we've got very high recycling rates, like this PET bottle that we have on the table. We are seeing very high recycling rate because it's very easy to identify. It's made of only one type of polymer, poly PET. And once you recycle, you recover exactly the same material that can be reused for the same application. So here we've got a very lean story, a very lean product design that is easy to identify, easy to sort, easy to recycle. Some other packaging are much more complex, are made of different type of polymers for good reason, but these make this difficult to recycle. So plastic covers a variety of materials, and packaging are either made of one type of plastic or many type of plastic. All depend on the final application and what type of performance you're looking for.
So we're looking at flexible plastics. These are the ones that are traditionally much more difficult to recycle. So we're looking at things like the films that we use on ham, cheese, detergents, this sort of thing. Why is it so complex?
So over the years, we've seen a move from rigid packaging to flexible packaging for very good reason, which is energy efficiency. You can package the same amount of goods inside with much less material. So how do we achieve this is by combining different type of high performance polymers, different type of plastic, in order to achieve optimal protection with the minimum amount of material. This is very good for energy efficiency. You use very little amount of material to pack the same amount of goods inside, but create challenges in terms of recycling.
So we're in the supermarket and I want to choose a steak. Is it not easier for me to just buy it over the counter, have it wrapped in a piece of paper, take it home, cook it? I mean, why do we have all these plastics, you know, around fresh meat, etc.? What's behind this?
First of all, not all the supermarket would have a counter. So we need to acknowledge a different format of distribution. Some large supermarket will have a counter and it's perfectly fine to buy your meat out of the counter. But we see the development of smaller units where you've got no counter and you need to buy your meat directly from the fridge. And it's perfectly fine. What is really important is food safety and food preservation. And these plastic wrapping around the meat can extend shelf life from a couple of days when it's only wrapped in paper to a couple of weeks. And then what has been demonstrated by a study is food waste within the supermarket, not even taking consideration food waste at home, can be reduced by 75%. So we clearly see the high value of packaging for meat packaging. We are all concerned about CO2 emission. Of course, we need to minimize the amount of packaging, but we need to think also what packaging does, and it's protecting, extending the shelf life, and also ensuring food safety.
And we talk about food waste and having a carbon footprint. I mean, can you expand a little bit on that?
A gram of polyethylene would produce 2 grams of CO2. A gram of meat, depending on the nature of the meat, can range from 20 up to 50 grams of CO2. So few grams of plastic can wrap 1 kilo of meat. Imagine this piece of meat going waste, the CO2 impact of this waste.
So there's still some confusion over recyclability and recycling. Could you explain the difference there? Because we're hearing these different terms. What does it mean?
As raw material supplier, plastic suppliers, we are working a lot to simplify the structure, moving from multi-polymer to monopolymer, maintaining the performance, in order to be recyclable. That means by design, you think as what do I want to achieve? Food protection and recyclability using only one type of polymer. That's what we call design for recyclability. But that's just the first step. From recyclable to recycled, there is a very long way to go. You first need to be disposed in a bin that is meant to be recycled. You need to have the infrastructure to sort this type of waste. And then you need a recycler to process this waste. It's not at all the case. It's really community by community, depending on the level of sophistication of their waste management system.
Let me just bring in Karen here. So we can create a recyclable product, but if the systems are not there in place to actually recycle it, it doesn't mean very much, does it? So what do we mean? What would be the first step to tackle both recyclability and ensure recycling?
No, obviously, I mean, we always need to start with the end in mind, right? I mean, finally, the vision is to develop a closed loop system that we can basically recycle all the flexible packaging, very similar what Romain already explained with the polyester bottle. But the first step is we need to have products that are recyclable, right? That are designed for recyclability. What does that mean? Today, we have very complex packaging solutions made out of various layers. All different layers. It can be aluminium. Everybody knows aluminium. It can include paper, but it can also include plastic. And usually they are all combined for a very good reason. And to make such packaging, such product recyclable, we need to make them out of one material solution. And in our way, our goal is to design for recyclability, which means to enable our customers, but also enable our brand owners and retailers to have fully recyclable packaging solutions, which are made out of one, ideally one product. And this, I think this is really the first step. Second step is the adoption of brands, right? If we have it and our customer produces it and nobody buys it and nobody brings it in the market, yeah, it also doesn't go anywhere, right? And I think this is the big debate. And I think this is also where Romain said already before, there is something in between from the supermarket where you can buy these products down to the point, bring it back into the loop, bring it back into a system, actually recycle it. We need the infrastructure. We need the infrastructure of collecting the material, sorting the material, recycling the material, and finally finding a new application for the recycled product. And I think this is where the gap is today, and in specific on the infrastructure. And I think there is a lot of debate, and I think millions of euros are required to build this infrastructure. So only if the infrastructure is there, we can finally have a closed loop system. It will take a while, it's a journey, but hopefully we will get there.
So Romain, what are the challenges for designing for recyclability?
If we take an incumbent solution that would be hard to recycle and we want to make it recyclable, we always start with the end in mind. First of all, let's not forget all the functionality we have to cover. Food safety, food preservation, shelf life, shelf appeal, protection. And on top of it, we want to add the recyclability aspect. But we don't want to compromise on the first one and having unintended consequences of more damaged goods, more food lost. So it's really important to keep the original functionality and to add the recyclability on top of it. And if it's not possible, if plastic would not have the lowest possible environmental impact, and if alternatives are showing better environmental impact, we are perfectly fine to say, I don't believe plastic should be the material of choice. But we need to look at the whole cycle, transportation, weight, recyclability. All these need to be addressed. Plastic is very efficient because it's very light. And that's why it's been so popular. The energy efficiency of plastic is unbeatable in most of the case.
So that's interesting that you say that. You're actually saying that if there is a better, more environmental solution to plastic, then you should be using it.
we are totally fine with this as long as it's scientifically proven and it's not a perception. And a lot of choice are driven by perception. We need to have scientists looking not on the emotional basis, but on the science basis, looking at cradle to cradle, what is the best solution? And if plastic is not the best one, we are perfectly fine to giving up.
So Karen, you've worked with many, many brand owners. Mm. What's important to them? I mean, will they compromise packaging in order to make it more recyclable?
Yeah, that is a good point. And my answer is no, they can't, right? Because it exactly turns back to what we just discussed. If they compromise on performance, if they compromise on functionality, the protection of the goods, and this is what brands are finally selling and where they make the money, is reduced. And if you can imagine today, all this packaging, is it for food packaging, is it for cosmetic, is it for detergent, but also for the big transportation packaging, if you start compromising on the quality, on the functionality of the packaging, you automatically will increase the amount of damaged goods on the road, you will increase the amount of food waste and any kind of other product waste due to unperforming packaging. So they cannot afford to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't think so.
So for the benefit of our listeners, I'm actually holding a fully recyclable package made by the brand owner Reckitt. It contains dishwasher tablets and it is indeed very light, flexible. It's matte green and actually crackles, as you can hear. It looks like a typical dishwasher tablet package to me. So Karen, this is a result of our collaboration with Reckitt. Why is this important and what has this led to?
Yeah, no, thank you, Judy, for bringing this up, because I think this is an outcome of a fantastic collaboration. You just mentioned it with Reckitt Benckiser. And here really the objective was to bring, and I think they were one of the first one, to really bring to market a so-called fully recyclable packaging solution made from a monomaterial, in that case, polyethylene. Yeah. And I think that the great story here, or the great news is here, that we are continuing this collaboration. As we speak, we are taking the empty pouches and bring it back to pellets, into pellets, or recycle the material. With the next step, we will incorporate the recycled pellets into new packaging, into new finish pouches, with really the objective to demonstrate that it is recyclable and it can really be recycled, and you can again find meaningful applications, and in that specific case even develop a closed loop system.
So this is a very good example, yeah, of the circular economy in action, really. And when we, just to explain to the listeners, when we talk about bringing it back, I mean, consistency is the key here, yeah, isn't it? So do you want to expand a little bit?
Yeah, I think for in here, when we talk about this, I mean, this is in specific mechanical recycling, and there's a lot of discussion and a lot of, let's say, movements in the mechanical recycling arena ongoing, and a key to success for mechanical recycling is really to have a consistent quantity, but also consistent quality of high quality recycled product available, to make sure you find meaningful high value application again, where you can bring in the recycle and not really have to go downcycling, which means create new benches or flower pots, because the world only needs a certain amount of flower pots. So I think really the objective is here really to develop as much as possible closed loop circular economy systems to demonstrate the value also a recycled product has.
Okay. And so it's interesting that you say valuable application. So obviously, if it can go from packaging to packaging, that is something that's considered valuable.
That's valuable, yeah.
And exactly. Whereas, as you say, downcycling is, yeah, packaging to something like a bench.
Exactly.
Okay. So you touched upon very briefly there, mechanical recycling, feedstock, chemical recycling. There's obviously a range of different recycling methods out there. Romain, let's talk a little bit about waste management hierarchy. Can you explain this?
Yes. So clearly what is banned in most of the country is a landfill, where we see waste being buried under the ground.
That's the worst.
That would be the worst. And it's an opportunity miss. because clearly we've seen that there is value into the waste and we need to make sure that we extract as much as we can. So there is another possibility, which is incineration. But here again, you are generating calories that are lost. And then you've got another level, which is incineration with energy recovery. Here we see that you use the calorie produced and it can be community heating. It can be cement heat, many different applications for the heat that has been created. And then we've got the recycling, what we are pushing a lot. And as Karin said, you've got the mechanical recycling where you grind the plastic to produce new plastic items, and feedstock recycling where you heat very high temperature the waste to produce new feedstock, to produce new virgin polymer, and then you've got food grade brand new plastic.
So it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're trying to keep things in the loop for as long as possible before it gets incinerated or before it goes elsewhere. Is that correct?
If we look at feedstock recycling, there is no end to this loop. There is some energy to be invested in this system, but you can turn plastic back to virgin plastic with no compromise on performance, no compromise on food safety with direct contact of this, because we turn it back to a brand new polymer.
So, given everything we've discussed, where do you think plastic recycling will be in 2025 remain?
I think EU has set a very ambitious goal of 50% actual recycling rate. As mentioned, a lot of money needs to be invested, but money is not enough. It's setting the system, having the separate collection. It's having some consumer behavior change, making sure that customers are well educated to proper dispose their waste in the proper bin to ensure circularity and recycling. And I think Karin mentioned it, collaboration throughout the chain, from the plastic producer, plastic converters, to the brand, retailers, waste management company, in order to align all towards this goal to circular economy and 50%+ recycling rate.
Romain, Karin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you for the invite. It was a pleasure.
We're also joined today by Krzysztof Krajewski, who is the Director of Packaging Sustainability for RB, also known as Reckitt Benckiser. RB is one of the world's largest consumer goods companies, supplying products such as Clearasil, Lysol, Dettol, and finished dishwasher tablets, of which we're going to talk about later. Hello and welcome, Krzysztof.
Hi, good afternoon.
RB is under some unique pressure as a brand owner to ensure your packaging is sustainable. What do you mean specifically by that? Is it more recyclable? Is that what the consumers are looking for?
Yes, I think the pressure is on all of us, to be honest. When you look on the circular economy, there are probably 5 or 6 different industries in one big loop, right? So from cradle to cradle, there are those steps like design for recyclability, then use and disposal on the consumer side, collection from houses, by municipalities, sorting, and then recycling. And then at the end of the day, it comes back to us, to our factories, when recycled content needs to be reused in the ideally the same form of product. So then we have ideal recycling, not necessarily downcycling. So the pressure really is all on all of the participants of this circle. And we see from our customers that they embrace the consumers' trends. Consumers are demanding more sustainable products. And that's why our customers also asking us to deliver products with a certain amount of PCR, products that are fully recyclable. And we know that recyclability will differentiate from country to country, from municipality to municipality. Therefore, we need to adapt to the local needs of our customers and also recycling infrastructure.
Thank you. We're really proud to have worked with you on the finish pouch. And we've talked a little bit about that with Romain and Karin. Can you tell us about this initiative and what your specific hopes are to make this fully circular or fully closed loop application?
Yes. So for me, it was quite a journey, to be honest. It was my personal thing when we started in 2016, actually. It was quite a while back ago. And you know that European Commission they set up the targets for recyclability and recycling industry, also producers like, such as us. It was in May 2018. So we actually were a little bit of ahead of a game. So when we started in 2016, and at that time, there were not so much of a pressure, as you say, right? So we didn't see that much pressure at the time. However, in every sort of packaging engineer's perception, sustainability is key priority, always have been. But now we have the voice, we can speak out, and you know what was always our purpose. And now we have a buyout from business. So from 2016, when we met first time, I was quite inspired with the recyclable solutions I've seen Dow was proposing and previously also launching in US with other brands. And I thought it could be a good opportunity for Finnish. And that's how it all started. After 2 years, we had some technical validation done. We did the film characterization. So we knew exactly what were the expectations from the new resin, from the new structures to deliver the same sort of standard of protection. So so we can convince the business that the new material will be as good as the old one, but also meeting our financial goals. And so not being excessively too expensive. So by end of 2018, we were already ready with launching. And since 2019, we were rolling it into the business.
And of course, this leads us to another challenge. I mean, one of the reasons you have these different layers and composite materials is basically because it offers such great functionality. Will RB ever compromise on functionality of an application of packaging?
Yes, I think this is an interesting question because functionality, we have many functionalities, right? Packaging has many functions. And there are some functions which we will never make any compromise, right? Quality, safety for consumers, safety for children, you know, accessibility, and delivering the product to consumers. So some of those functions will need to be always there. There are also some other functions which probably are of a lower priority. And one of the new functions could be sustainability. So I see the trend coming, and obviously we are observing it happening now, which is consumers are more and more requiring sustainable products and sustainable packaging. For them, it's functional because they need to deal with the waste. They need to dispose it. They need to know how to dispose it. And most of the time, non-recyclable propositions are not really functional in this environment.
So do you see a future for plastic as long as it's recyclable?
Definitely. I see future for the systems which are properly managed. We have seen in the last couple of years that plastics industry and recycling industry, they were not really closed circular loops. And a lot of material was leaking into oceans, leaking into to the ground, and were not necessarily recycled at the right value. And that's the problem. And I think if we fix those problems, I believe we can get there. But it's, again, it's a collaboration with many participants, and governments will play a massive role there to regulate between all those players and actors, you know. So there will be no waste on any sort of level or step. And if we have all this fixed, then the full closed loop will happen, and the leaks should be minimal.
Thank you very much, Christoph, for your time.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Clearly, this is a complicated challenge to solve. And while progress is being made, it's clear that we need to move faster and work collaboratively.
Thanks for listening to Plastics Unwrapped, creating a circular economy for plastics. The series is hosted by Judy Hicks and presented by Dow. Stay in touch and feel free to share.